2. The scientists and marketing executives at Procter & Gamble were gathered around a beat-up table in a small, windowless room, reading the transcript of an interview with a woman who owned 9 cats, when one of them finally said what everyone was thinking. "If we get fired, what exactly happens?" she asked. "Do security guards show up and walk us out? Or do we get some kind of warning beforehand?" The team's leader, a one-time rising star within the company named Drake Stimson, stared at her. "I don't know," he said. His hair was a mess. His eyes were tired. "I never thought things would get this bad. They told me running this project was a promotion." It was 1996, and the group at the table was finding out, despite Claude Hopkins' assertions, how utterly unscientific the process of selling something could become. They all worked for one of the largest consumer goods firms on Earth, the company behind Pringles potato chips, Oil of Olay, Bounty paper towels, CoverGirl cosmetics, Dawn, Downy, and Duracell, as well as dozens of other brands. P&G collected more data than almost any other merchant on Earth and relied on complex statistical methods to craft their marketing campaigns. The firm was incredibly good at figuring out how to sell things. In the clothes washing market alone, P&G's products cleaned 1 out of every 2 laundry loads in America. Its revenues topped $35 billion per year. However, Stimson's team, which had been entrusted with designing the ad campaign for one of P&G's most promising new products, was on the brink of failure. The company had spent millions of dollars developing a spray that could remove bad smells from almost any fabric, and the researchers in that tiny, windowless room had no idea how to get people to buy it. The spray had been created about 3 years earlier, when one of P&G's chemists was working with a substance called hydroxypropyl beta-cyclodextrin, or HPBCD, in a laboratory. The chemist was a smoker. His clothes usually smelled like an ashtray. One day, after working with HPBCD, his wife greeted him at the door when he got home. "Did you quit smoking?" she asked him.
"No," he said.
He was suspicious. She had been harassing him to give up cigarettes for years. This seemed like some kind of reverse psychology trickery. "You don't smell like smoke, is all," she said. The next day, he went back to the lab and started experimenting with HPBCD and various scents. Soon, he had hundreds of vials containing fabrics that smelled like wet dogs, cigars, sweaty socks, Chinese food, musty shirts, and dirty towels. When he put HPBCD in water and sprayed it on the samples, the scents were drawn into the chemical's molecules. After the mist dried, the smell was gone. When the chemist explained his findings to P&G's executives, they were ecstatic. For years, market research had said that consumers were clamoring for something that could get rid of bad smells, not mask them, but eradicate them altogether. When one team of researchers had interviewed customers in their homes, they found that many of them left their blouses or slacks outside after a night at a bar or party. "My clothes smell like cigarettes when I get home, but I don't want to pay for dry cleaning every time I go out," one woman said. P&G, sensing an opportunity, launched a top-secret project to turn HPBCD into a viable product. They spent millions perfecting the formula, finally producing a colorless, odorless liquid that could wipe out almost any foul odor. The science behind the spray was so advanced that NASA would eventually use it to clean the interiors of shuttles after they returned from space. The best part
was that it was cheap to manufacture, didn't leave stains, and could make any stinky couch, old jacket, or stained car interior smell, well, scentless. The project had been a major gamble, but P&G was now poised to earn billions if they could come up with the right marketing campaign. They decided to call it Febreze and asked Stimson, a 31-year-old wunderkind with a background in math and psychology, to lead the marketing team. Stimson was tall and handsome, with a strong chin, a gentle voice, and a taste for high-end meals. "I'd rather my kids smoked weed than ate in McDonald's," he once told a colleague. Before joining P&G, he had spent 5 years on Wall Street building mathematical models for choosing stocks. When he relocated to Cincinnati, where P&G was headquartered, he was tapped to help run important business lines, including Bounce Fabric Softener and Downy Dryer Sheets. But Febreze was different. It was a chance to launch an entirely new category of product, to add something to a consumer's shopping cart that had never been there before. All Stimson needed to do was figure out how to make Febreze into a habit, and the product would fly off the shelves. How tough could that be? Stimson and his colleagues decided to introduce Febreze in a few test markets: Phoenix, Salt Lake City, and Boise. They flew in and handed out samples, and then asked people if they could come by their homes. Over the course of 2 months, they visited hundreds of households. Their first big breakthrough came when they visited a park ranger in Phoenix. She was in her late 20s and lived by herself. Her job was to trap animals that wandered out of the desert. She caught coyotes, raccoons, the occasional mountain lion, and skunks. Lots and lots of skunks, which often sprayed her when they were caught. "I'm single, and I'd like to find someone to have kids with," the ranger told Stimson and his colleagues while they sat in her living room. "I go on a lot of dates. I mean, I think I'm attractive, you know? I'm smart, and I feel like I'm a good catch." But her love life was crippled, she explained, because everything in her life smelled like skunk. Her house, her truck, her clothing, her boots, her hands, her curtains, even her bed. She had tried all sorts of cures. She bought special soaps and shampoos. She burned candles and used expensive carpet shampooing machines. None of it worked.